Our reading this morning comes from Ephesians chapter 5. It's on page 829 of your pew Bibles. And we're reading from verse 15. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise but as wise, making most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. This is his word.
Thank you, David. Friends, if there's one thing I want for you, it's this. I want you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. Not only do I want you to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now listen carefully to what I'm saying this morning, because there might be some distinctions, what you've heard in the past. There may be some confusion about this Holy Spirit and who he is and filling and baptism and so on. If you are a Christian, I don't want you to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, because you already are baptized with the Holy Spirit. If you've repented of your sins and trusted in Christ, you receive the gift of the Spirit, you are baptized. Another way of saying it, you're baptized with the Spirit. You also filled with the Spirit initially. I was at a Youth Alive rally many years ago, run by the Assemblies of God, now called the Australian Christian Churches. And a speaker said, at the end of the rally, he said to the young people, come out to the front if you want to give your life to Jesus. You want to become Christians. And many came forward and they prayed to receive Christ, to become Christians. Then a few minutes later, he said, now I want you to come out to the front if you want to be baptized with the Spirit and speaking tongues to get a new power to live for God. Did you notice that? Firstly, he said, come, become a Christian. And then for those who are already Christians, he said, well, come forward now if you want to be baptized with the Spirit. I think that is incorrect theologically. Right? I think it's incorrect biblically. But some churches teach what is a two-stage experience of the Spirit. Receive the Spirit, then get baptized later in speaking tongues, and you get a new power. Let me tell you, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says that when you become a Christian, you are filled with the Spirit, you're baptized with the Spirit, you receive the gift of the Spirit. It's one and the same event. Every Christian has been baptized with the Holy Spirit, Acts 1, verse 5. It's the initial blessing in the Christian life. If you repent, if you believe, you receive the Spirit. You're baptized with the Spirit. The question, though, is why then are some Christians powerfully used by God and others aren't? Why does God powerfully transform some believers, while for others there seems to be little evidence that they've been baptized with the Holy Spirit? And I think the answer, of course, is the fullness of the Spirit, not the baptism of the Spirit. We're all being baptized with the Spirit, but it's the fullness of the Spirit. When we speak of the baptism with the Spirit, we are talking about a once-for-all gift. When we speak of the fullness of the Spirit, we're acknowledging that this gift needs to be continuously and increasingly appropriated. Let's look at that, and I'll seek to apply that this morning. Firstly, being filled with the Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, God poured out the Spirit from heaven, Acts chapter 2, verse 18, and thus we're baptized with the Holy Spirit, the first 120 disciples, and then 3,000 converts. Right? That was a promise. Jesus said, in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. They were, and another 3,000 were converted and also filled with the Holy Spirit. It's an initial filling. Let me say there's an initial filling and there's an ongoing filling. See how the Bible uses it? Baptized, filled, received the gift of the Spirit at the beginning. And yet there's an ongoing filling that takes place. We'll get to that in a moment. D.L. Moody, a former leader was asked why he needed to be filled continually with the Holy Spirit. And he said, because I leak. Right? Now, in one sense, you don't leak because the Spirit is always there, but there's appropriating his power and his work in your life. It's listening to him, being guided by him. Now, three main categories in your Bible and what it means to be filled with the Spirit. Just a bit of an overview, and you've got all the verses in your notes. It is implied that to be full or filled was a normal characteristic of every dedicated Christian. Acts chapter 6, they chose seven men to be set apart to care for the Jerusalem widows. They would be full of the Holy Spirit and full of wisdom. Brothers, choose seven men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. You don't just choose anyone. You don't just want those weak, ineffective Christians who don't care about Jesus and don't read his word and don't pray, don't make a difference, but those who are full of the Spirit, those who are dedicated, those who are committed to Christ. We'll turn responsibility over to them. We're going to trust them, full of the Spirit and full of wisdom. And we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. In Acts 11:24, Barnabas is described as a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. Notice that expression again, full of the Holy Spirit. Acts 13:52, the newly converted disciples of Pisidian Antioch were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. So these are people habitually governed and controlled by the Spirit, as Jesus was. We're people who are letting God lead them. They are surrendering completely to God, and they are different. People recognize them, even within the community. So they're full of the Spirit. They're full of the Spirit. You can tell. They just give themselves completely to God, and God is now using them for his work. They submit to God's word. Secondly, the expression sometimes indicates an endowment for a particular ministry or an office. John the Baptist, for example, would be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb, get that, in preparation for his prophetic ministry. Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul, then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Paul was going to be an apostle, a believer now rather than an enemy of the gospel, and an apostle. Thirdly, there are occasions when the fullness of the Spirit was given to people for an immediate task. In a sense, you're in the middle of something and God so fills you, you have this new power, this new boldness, and this new courage that you never knew you had, right? I wonder whether you've ever experienced that. You're just in a situation, you think, I've no idea what I'm going to say in answer to this tough question. And all of a sudden, there's a sense of God is present. You have the words to speak that you hadn't put together in your mind. And all of a sudden, God brings these together. Full of the Holy Spirit. Before Peter addressed the Sanhedrin in Acts chapter 4 verse 8, the Bible says he was filled with the Holy Spirit and he preached boldly. When you are full of the Holy Spirit, not only will you be godly, you will often preach boldly. After the believers called out to God in prayer in the face of opposition in Acts 4:31, they prayed, and after they prayed, they were in a gathering. The place where they were meeting was shaken. Now, I don't know if the building shook, it was like a God experience in the place. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. So they'd already had the Spirit, they're believers, but now they are filled with the Holy Spirit and they speak boldly. Acts chapter 7, Stephen is being put to death, the first Christian martyr, 54 to 56. When they heard this, this is his preaching, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. "Look," he said, "I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." There's a courage and a faith that comes when you are full of the Holy Spirit to stand up for God no matter what happens. What are the consequences? Acts 13 verse 9. Paul rebuked Elymas, the sorcerer on the island of Cyprus. We read, "Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight at Elymas and said, "You're a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord?" Lord, a few weeks ago, when my mother passed away and then my auntie passed away, I had opportunities to spend some time with the local Greek Orthodox parish priests. I tell you, I felt full of the Holy Spirit. Go up and say, "Father, you need to go and tell these people about Jesus, because they don't know Jesus. They're part of your flock. They're far from God. They're atheists, most of them, at least in my family." And then they said to me, "So tell me, how did you become a Christian?" And full of the Holy Spirit, I said, "Well, let me tell you, when I was 15 and you guys, I used to come here and you guys never taught the truth and we were lost. Everything is sung and chanted and no one gets to know Jesus." This is over the dinner table at the wake afterwards, right? I told them how I came to understand salvation by God's grace through faith alone. God gives you a certain courage and a faith. And then I'm sitting with my uncles and aunties and debating with them and defending the gospel. I got to preach on Sunday night, 2 days after my mother had passed away. And you do that and you're full of the Holy Spirit, let me tell you. Not in your own strength. God fills you. God empowers you. And it's interesting, after that night, and we're speaking about living in light of eternity from 1 Peter. And people, it was almost like this stunned look, wow. It was like, wow. I had to be here that night. I had to preach that night. Because God fills you with his Spirit to speak truth and words into people's lives. And God sometimes does that in the most difficult times in your life. God speaks most powerfully sometimes. He fills you with his Spirit, even in the midst of tough times. I remember the thing most clear to me, an opportunity where I just sensed the fullness of the Spirit. God was just there. I was at teacher's college. When I was younger, I was trying to be a maths teacher. And the maths teacher, we went away on a camp for 3 or 4 days. I don't know why. We're boring, us maths teachers. Nothing much happened there. But I noticed that some of the girls were sort of hooking up with some of the boys. And as a Christian, I was watching immorality take place in cabins, I mean, and hearing about it the next morning, and it just broke my heart. And I remember walking around that campsite in tears, praying. I'm like 20 years of age. And some of the same people were also being racist towards the one Lebanese girl in the group and people saying things behind her back. And I just sensed there were some nice people, but I sensed it was a dark place and there needed to be a spiritual breakthrough of some form. And I just walked and prayed. And later that night, we just went to one of the cabins. There were about 20 of us in the cabins playing cards. And I used to be courageous as a young university student. I had a jacket and the label on it said, "Another Student for Christ." And a big fish sign on it. And anyone wear the fish signs in the old days? You know, here, used to run them on the back of your car, some of you, and you should never do that because you drive badly. Don't tell them you're a Christian if you drive badly. Don't put them on the back of your cars. But anyway, and this person said to me, I'm on my knees and they're playing cards and people on beds talking. And she said, "Why is it that you're a Christian?" Everyone looked, right? And I'm answering a question, then I answer another question, I answer another question. Someone up the back asks a question, and someone else over there asks a question, and one of the other girls is getting upset that I'm talking about Jesus, and then someone else is asking a question. We all go for 2 hours, from about 10 till 12 in the evening, answering questions. Now that's not me, that's the fullness of the Spirit, right? We need to be praying that we'll be so filled that God gives us opportunities wherever we are to do the work of the gospel. But once when I had one of those fish stickers on the back of my car and my uncle said, "I hear that's an evangelical symbol." I went, "Oh great, I just got home from soccer training, all muddy yes, it's a Christian symbol. It's the early Greek Orthodox Church used to have it. Symbolic, it meant Jesus Christ, Son of God, Saviour, and it's an acrostic." And then we started to talk about Jesus and my uncles and my aunties and my parents. And God gave me enough Greek to explain the gospel in Greek, to which one of my aunties said, "Where did you learn all that Greek?" And then she said, "How did you know all that Bible stuff?" And sometimes God brings all the things you've learnt together as he fills you with the Holy Spirit for the work of proclaiming the gospel. You know, it's great that 25 people gathered for Christianity Explained last Tuesday night. No greater time does God fill you with the Spirit when you're teaching God's word and God's truth to help people who are sometimes far from God. People are a Muslim person, a couple of Buddhist people, and people have just started coming to church, and people have been coming to church for a while, and many who've been to church experiences in the past but have not come to meet Christ personally in a relationship are just opening up and asking questions. Just be able to answer questions. We need to be filled. Or if every leader, you need to pray for something, pray that all the leaders, Christians there, will be filled with the Holy Spirit. That God will do his powerful work. Secondly, let's move on. We're going to run out of time. We must go on, listen to this, we must go on being filled with the Spirit. This is the ongoing work of the Spirit. It says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery or wild living, drunkenness and sleeping around and violence. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Let me go to that first expression, which in your English Bible says, be filled with the Spirit. Let me tell you four things, a little bit of grammar this morning, really quickly. It won't stretch you too far. Number one, the verb be filled with the Spirit is in the imperative mood, which means it's not a tentative proposal or a mild recommendation. It's an authoritative command. Be filled. Something you need to do. Secondly, it's in the plural form. It's addressed to the whole Christian community. It's not saying one Christian should be filled, all of you, rather than being drunk with wine or to be, in a sense, drunk or filled or controlled by the Holy Spirit. It's not an elitist privilege to be filled. It's for every believer. Thirdly, it's in the passive voice, be filled. In other words, surrender to God, let God fill you. Okay? You need to do it, it's imperative. It's for everyone. You need to allow the Spirit to come into your life to work through you. And keep in mind, let the Spirit fill you is parallel to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in Colossians 3:16. Let the Spirit fill you, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. If you have the word of Christ, you know what God thinks, and therefore he leads you. Fourthly, it's in the present tense. This is very, very important. The action is continuous. So rather than simply be filled with the Spirit, it's better to translate that, go on being filled with the Spirit. Go on being filled with the Spirit. In other words, you receive the Spirit at the beginning of your Christian life, you're filled, but you need to now go on being filled with the Spirit. How do you do that? Through worship, glorifying God, through feeding on the Word, being Christ-centered, through prayer, expressing God-dependence, through fellowship, spurring one another on as we are doing this morning, through surrender, God, your will, not mine. Sam O'Billy went filled with the Holy Spirit to Papua. And many times while she was there, she's serving in a new place. She needed the power of the Spirit of God to work in her. She needed to go on being filled with the Holy Spirit as she served in that place. Thirdly, what are the marks of the Spirit's fullness? Do not get drunk with wine, he says in Ephesians 5, but be filled with the Spirit. It's interesting, he puts those side by side. There is a superficial similarity between the two, isn't there? A person who is drunk is under the influence of alcohol. The person who is filled with the Spirit is under the influence of the Holy Spirit. But their results are completely different, aren't they? Their results, you've seen a drunk person. You've seen them recently? No control on what they're doing. It leads to wild living. It leads to battles and fights. It leads to domestic abuse. It leads to gambling their money away. It leads to destructive behavior. But when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, it leads to self-control and love and joy and peace and patience and faithfulness. I remember a student I taught once, and I ran into him on a street a few weeks after I taught him. He said, "Oh, it's good to see you, Ange. I said, well, what have you been up to? He said, oh, you won't believe what happened last night. Just out of the blue, he said, I went out with the boys. I got drunk for the first time in my life. He said, really? He said, and they videotaped me. My mates videotaped me. And they played it to me the next day. He said, it was terrible. I had no idea how bad I was. I never want to get drunk again, he said. When he saw what he was like under drunkenness, he saw how evil it was. Because alcohol dehumanizes. The abuse of alcohol dehumanizes. Turns human beings into beasts. But the fullness of Christ makes us more human, makes us more like Jesus. And it says, fellowship is one of the marks, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. When you're filled with the Spirit, you love fellowship, you love worshiping together. This morning we've been speaking to one another as we sang to God, we sing to each other. We encourage each other to keep living for Christ. Secondly, worship, singing and making music or melody in your heart to the Lord. Spirit-filled Christians have a song of joy in their hearts. They love gathering to worship. They love singing when they're by themselves. They love turning up their music and singing praises to God. There's this deep joy, not just outwardly, there's that deep joy in their hearts. Thirdly, gratitude. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Spirit-filled Christians are not grumblers. They're not complainers. They don't always find something wrong in situations. Even if something goes wrong, they find something positive out of it. Well, God can still work. Let me give you a hug. Let's get over this tough time. Let's maybe weep together if we have to weep together. But you're going to find a way to say, God, I know, God, you are working even through this. God, you are a good God. You're a loving God. We know Christ died and rose again for us. That proves your love. We're with you. And submission. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Christians, spirit-filled people, are not aggressive, self-assertive and brash. They don't try and get their own way, but they're humbling. They serve one another. And I submit to you and you submit to me. And we look out for each other's interests. That's what it means to be spirit-filled. If you have a leader who's up the front who seems like the authority over everything, they're not necessarily spirit-filled. They just may have good communication skills. And they're good up front. But you tell whether they're filled with the Spirit by the gentle nature of their character, by their humility, as well as their courage and their strength. Submission. Let me conclude. We're almost near the end. I want you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I've got to get a Tarakash story in somewhere. It's been a while. Yes, this jumper is from Tarakash. It's okay. So are the jeans and the shirt, but let's not go there any further. But I walked into a store at Macquarie Centre. And I share these stories to let you know this is all of God, right? It's all of God. I skipped some lectures. I organised a preaching conference. They had some electives on the afternoon. I mean, they're dull. I organised them. And so I went to the Macquarie Centre to have a bit of a break. And so I grabbed some lunch and I walked into this store to see if they had any cheap deals, because I'm cheap. And I always look for the prices, wait for them to drop. And I got talking and I think I shared this once before, and there's two young women working there and they were trying to sell you clothing. And I said, where are you from? I said, what do you mean? I said, originally, I could tell from your accent, I'm Serbian, she said. I said, so where do you live? It's a strange question for someone buying clothes to ask. I said, where are you from? Where do you live? Because we chatted for a little while. I said, I live out west. And I just looked at her. I said, you wouldn't be from Bonnie Rig, would you? She was from Bonnie Rig. She said, how did you know that? No one even knows what Bonnie Rig is. I said, no, Macquarie Centre people, Northside, they got no idea of the western suburbs. I said, and we just kept talking. I didn't tell her, God told me, because in one sense, God did. She looked stunned and wanted to know how I knew. And anyway, we kept talking. And then she said, what do you do? I said, I'm a Baptist pastor. She went, wow. Hallelujah. This is getting better as we tell the story. I said, do you believe in God? Have you been part of church? I was talking to my youth pastor last night. I haven't been in church for a while. I've sort of gone through some difficulties and I dropped out. And she said, my youth pastor rang me last night. And we're talking to me about trying to get back to God. And now you're here. I said, you know, God has this way of sort of pursuing you because he loves you and he wants you to be right with him and to reconnect with his people. And we got talking about reconnecting with God and sharing Christ. And every so often I look around to see if any customers were coming in, and God kept everyone out of that store. And then the other girl said, and she started to talk too. She used to go to church but hadn't been to church for a while and asked questions about suffering. Why do people suffer? And you could tell that both of them had been through some tough experiences where they sort of questioned whether God was there for them. And we just tried to answer all of those questions. And then after a while, we're going for 30, 40 minutes now. And I'm looking around thinking, is there a customer here? I don't want to interrupt their sales, right? Because they get paid to sell. And they said to me, are you trying to escape from us crazy girls? I said, no, I'm happy to stay here as long as possible to talk about Jesus. I mean, no better place to be, right? Sharing Christ. 40 minutes later, it was like I bought a pair of jeans and I just said, listen, it's just been so good to talk to you. And they said, again, wow. And I said, thanks. And you know, one of those moments, you don't want to walk away from it because God's in the place. But I've got to leave them in the hands of God. And I walk out and take my clothes and I sort of look away back and you think, I know that God was in that place speaking. Because God fills us with his Spirit to do a job at different times. And you've, brothers and sisters, been filled with the Holy Spirit. If you take back and remind yourself what that's like in times, just walking closely with God and times when other people think, how are you coping with this? You're just filled with the Spirit. Relying upon God, surrendering to God completely. It takes you through the tough time, gives you capacity to share Christ's love with people courageously, even when people attack you. And God puts you into places where people are just hungry and open. And God gives you the words to speak. I'm going to pray that God would fill us increasingly with his Holy Spirit. Lord God, it is our prayer that you would so fill us with your Spirit, that we would make a commitment to go on being filled with the Holy Spirit as we submit to you and surrender to you. Allow you to be Lord and Savior in our lives, King over all. And Lord, may you choose to use us to proclaim the gospel boldly, to love people deeply, to care for people with true compassion. We know we can only do that as we are filled with the Holy Spirit. So come, Lord God, fill us in increasing measure, I pray, that we would truly glorify your name. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.